I'm on now? Okay. If you'd open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6 as we continue our study through the book. Before we actually read this portion this morning, let me just remind you where we were last week if you did not get the chance to be here with us. All of our messages are online. They're also on our website, multiple different places you can find them. We're now actually even taping them by video. So if you missed it, you can get it. It's an encouraging message. Last week we saw the throne room of God and the Lamb who is going to be the picture for us of the one who's given his life for us. We saw all that last week and the picture portrayed for us through God's Word and through John as he wrote these words down is the amazing place of worship that's going to be. With all that said, we get right to the point of the seals and the scroll. And John was upset last week because he didn't know who was worthy to be able to open up this scroll and to read the scroll. But we know the one who is able and the one who is able is Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. And he is about to stand and read from the scroll, to open the scroll and read it. And that's what we're going to put in today. We saw that beautiful picture last week of the worship of God's people together in the presence of God. But now the things start to change. And I entitled today's message, "And So It Begins, The Great Tribulation." Now, it's not great because it's great. It's great because of the magnitude of the tribulation that's coming to this world. Now, you might say, "Well, Pastor, why are you going to tell us about all that yucky stuff?" It's in God's Word. And it's going to happen. And whether you're ready for it or not, this is an opportunity for you to get ready. I'm not planning on being here. Those of you that are saved are not planning on being here. If you're not saved, you can still plan on not being here. It's not too late. We're still here. Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 if you stand with me in honor of God's Word. John says, "I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. And then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, 'Come.' And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. And when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come.' And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. His rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine.' And then the Lamb opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth." Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I'm so grateful to you that we have your word written for us. It is your word that comes alive when we listen to you by your Spirit. Lord, it's so evident, it's so amazingly evident of the ways that things that are going in today's world that we're quickly approaching this day of destruction. This day of death, this day that will be nothing else compared to it. in all of man's history. Lord, it's so important for us as your people to take the days that you have given us, and we don't know how many of those will be, but to focus our attention on you and sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that he gave his life up for us as a ransom for our sin. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we start out. John says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Now, no one knew what was inside the scroll. It's kind of like those moments at the Academy Awards when they're holding the envelope. And there's multiple people who are up to win Best Actor or Best Actress. And they're holding the envelope. I never watched the thing anyway because it's just a bunch of political stuff. But you want to know what's in the envelope, don't you? But nobody can open the envelope except the presenter. Nobody else is qualified to do it. But then they open the envelope, and there's always that moment before they say anything, everybody's going like, they're like on the edge of their seat. What's it say? What's it say? That's the feeling that we're feeling right now. And I can just imagine John, the one who was crying momentarily before this, wondering who was worthy to be able to even open these. And now he's going to hear what Jesus says as he opens these scrolls. The first scroll, the first seal as it's opened of this scroll, is the white horse of deception. Look at what verse 2 says. I looked and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. He is the man, first of all, peace. This rider has a bow in his hand, but he has no arrows. So he comes out showing that he's really strong, but he's not making anybody do anything. It implies he's going to conquer the world without bloodshed. And that, folks, is the Antichrist. He's this person that's going to come on the scene who's totally in control by Satan himself. But he's going to be so slick. He's going to be so charismatic. He's going to be so wonderful in all of his abilities that people are just going to be, they're going to swoon over him. He will seem to have all the answers to the world's problems. He'll be shrewd and smart and erudite and magnetic. And when so many people have disappeared, he's going to seem to have the answer. Now listen, folks. When all the people of God disappear in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, people are going to wonder what's going on. Don't you think? Yeah. Because a lot of these people are going to be driving their cars. A lot of these people might be even piloting airplanes. These people are going to be gone. There's going to be catastrophes everywhere because of the people of God being snatched out of this world. Now, I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. I pray I get to be in the rapture. I pray I get to be there to just be taken up by God. It's going to be amazing. I think it's coming soon. God's Word says it's coming soon. But there are going to be a lot of people wondering, what happened? Was it an alien invasion? I mean, how much have you heard over the past 20 or 30 years about aliens and about invasions and about UFOs and about all these other, and the military suppressing all these UFO, you know, you hear all this kind of stuff. This person is going to come on the scene and he's going to come up with this answer that's going to appear to be super intelligent and, oh, now we get it kind of thing. And everybody will be put at ease. Oh, okay. We get it. All right. He's going to be a man of peace. But not only that, he's going to be a man of power. The scripture says he rides out with the purpose of conquering. He rides out with the bow. And it goes on to say, He was given a crown. He was given a crown. He's going to be totally accepted by the world. The world's going to say, hey, nobody seems to have an answer, but this guy has the answer. We want him to be in charge. And those boundary lines of states and countries are going to start to fade away. And this world is going to start to come together, so to speak, under the leadership of this one person, the Antichrist. In fact, William Barclay says in his commentary, the leaders of the nations of earth will bow at this man's feet and grant him the right to rule over the entire world. They will have denied his right, this right to the King of Kings. They have denied it to the Savior of men. They have denied it to the Son of God. But they will grant that privilege to this child of hell. Isn't that amazing? To just read that statement shows where we are in this world today. He's going to be a man of peace, and he's going to be a man of power because he rides out with the purpose of conquering this world. And he will be crowned by this world as the leader, the answer. But we know who the answer is. Thirdly, he's going to be a man of pretense. The problem with the Antichrist is not that he's not the man that he appears to be. He seems to be the good guy. I mean, after all, he is riding a white horse, right? He's going to come on a white horse. He's going to be the one who looks like and acts like and sounds like the guy with all the answers. And the people are going to fall in line to this. He's going to appear on the world stage promising peace and safety and prosperity. But he will be the most evil, dictatorial ruler the world has ever seen. They won't see it immediately. But as they start giving their allegiance to him, and as they start falling in line with him and lining up financially with him, those things will start to happen. Everything he is and everything he says will be a study in lies and falsehoods. Who does that remind you of? Well, John chapter 8, verse 44 says this. He was a murderer from, talking about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The Antichrist is going to be totally controlled by Satan himself. And so everything he says, although it sounds good, is not good. Oh, that tree, the fruit, God knows if you eat of it, you won't die. You'll be like him. Knowing the difference between good and evil. It's the same thing. Then verses 3 and 4 talk about the second horse that comes as that second seal is opened. The red horse of destruction. Excuse me. It won't take long. It won't take long after the people have bowed down and began following the leadership of the Antichrist, that the peace is broken. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 7, give us a picture of what it's going to look like. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We've always thought that to be a picture of the rapture coming, but I tell you what, folks, all those things are already happening. It's setting this world up for this very time of a world domination by the Antichrist. The peace that is promised is not long-lived. In fact, without Christ, there is no real peace. We know that. Without Jesus, without his church, without his spirit here in this world, there will be no peace. Right? I like that little statement, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. This world is not going to understand because they've been totally blinded and they have no spiritual life in them. People will be looking everywhere for peace, but they will not be able to find it anywhere. Can you imagine a world without any hope? That's the world it'll be. Because there will be absolutely no hope. Right now, there's still hope. Right now, there's still an opportunity for you. Right now, there's an opportunity for your neighbors and for your friends. Right now, there's an opportunity for your loved ones. Right now, there's an opportunity of peace and hope. But in this day, there will be none. There will be none. The peace will be broken. The planet will be brutalized. This writer is given a great sword, as Scripture says. It refers to the extent of the warfare, which will truly be worldwide. The panic of the disappearance and now the World War III will begin to sweep this earth. Nation against nation. Brother against brother. When this war spreads around the globe, there will be nobody who's not affected. Mass destruction, nuclear, biological, total chaos, the loss of lives will be staggering. Now you might say, well, Pastor, why are you preaching about that? I don't want to hear about that. It's in God's Word. We need to hear about it because it should motivate us to get off our blessed assurance and go out and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. People need to know the good news while there's still good news to be told. And then verses 5 and 6 tell us about the third seal and the black horse of destitution. This world is going to go through a time, this whole time of the great tribulation is going to be 7 years. The first half, 3.5 years, is when all this is going to be taking place. It's going to be a time of shortages, a time of famine so severe that food and other necessities will have to be rationed. Clean water, food, clothes will all be in short supply. The things we take for granted. I mean, think about it, folks. You go to your faucet and turn on the water. You don't worry about what's coming out. You drink it. But there'll be a time when you don't. You go to your grocery store and you walk down the aisle and you pick out the food items that you can afford and want. It won't be like that. It's going to be a time of great shortages. You want to gas up your car, there won't be any gas. People will kill for a meal or even for a bottle of water. Can you imagine that? That's what this world is going to come to. It's going to come to such a terrible state. A time of destitution. A time of starvation. A man will work a full day for just enough money to feed himself, not even his family. No money for anything else. Now, when you stop and think about it, if you just made just enough money today to buy one meal, how are you going to pay all your other bills? You're not. Which means you'll be out of your house soon. Which means you're going to be living on the street soon. What about those who can't work? They will be left to die. Because in this point, at this point in history, with the Spirit of God taken out of this world, it's going to be every person for themselves. Period. And if you have something that I want, I'm going to come and take it. And there's going to be brutality, and there's going to be killing, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on that you couldn't even imagine. Never will this world experience the harshness of world starvation like during these days. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. Now, this man of pretense, this one who comes and acts like everything's going to be just fine, I thought this interesting. I went through one of my old textbooks of world history, and I picked up on this. It says, some would argue the leaders of this world are too smart to fall into deception like this. If you watch the news, you'll soon figure out that's not always the best and brightest rule, that not always the best and brightest rule the nations. Add to that the lessons from history, and you'll see this world is ripe for this satanic deception. Just look at what Hitler did prior to World War II. He had outlined in detail his plans for conquest in his book, Mein Kampf. which was published more than a decade before World War II began. Yet the Western Allies persisted in believing Hitler's false claim to be a man of peace. They stood idly by as he reoccupied the Rhineland, thus abrogating the Versailles Treaty. Then he annexed Austria, the Sudetenland, Czechoslovakia. British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain met with Hitler at Munich in 1938, and upon his return to England, Chamberlain triumphantly waved a piece of paper that contained a pledge of peace from Hitler, which he claimed guaranteed peace. Winston Churchill rose in the House of Commons to declare that England had suffered a total, unmitigated defeat. He was shouted down by angry members of the party. The deception was nearly universal. Only after Hitler invaded Poland in 1939 did the Allies acknowledge the truth. But by then it was too late. The Antichrist will be the same. He's going to do the same, only on a worldwide scale. This world is ripe for such a person to step to center stage. Isn't that amazing? And we say, this world will never be, they would never be fooled like that. Oh, yes, they will. I want you to see, it's also going to be a time of separation. There's going to still be a few who are very rich, and they're going to continue to get richer. That's what the little phrase at the end of this passage says. Do not damage the oil and the wine. It means they're going to store up for themselves treasures here on this earth that they think are going to carry them through, but it will not. There will even be a day when they run out. Now you can hide away stuff as long as you want to hide it away, but sooner or later it's going to be gone. And you'll be just like everybody else, wondering how you're going to make it through the next day. Then look at verses 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice from the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following but close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Now I want you to understand the breadth of the devastation and death that's going to happen. Over one-fourth of the world's population will die. That's approximately 1.7 billion people. Now, you might think that's a big number. We'll put it into perspective. The U.S. population is 327 million. The population of the largest country, population-wise, China, is 1.3 billion. That's still not all of the people. So all the people of China and all the people of the United States wouldn't even make up this number, 1.7 billion. Every person in the U.S. and China and then more are going to die. Folks, this isn't just a tsunami hitting an island. This isn't a tornado touching down in Oklahoma. This is going to be a time of such devastation and death. It's going to be unbelievable. People will not even be able to comprehend it. The breadth of it's going to be amazing. But even worse than that, the brutality of it. It lists these things. People will die of the sword, of weapons, the war that's going on, of famine. They're not going to have any food. And of the plagues. Folks, more and more and more we see strains of viruses that are not even being able to be treated any longer because the medicines we have won't touch them. You think it's bad now? Wait till then. You see, when God's Spirit is pulled off of this earth, it's wide open game for Satan and his demons. Every way a person could die will be experienced in mass. Whether by starvation or war or disease or even the wild animals looking for food, the Scripture says, this world is going to be turned upside down with death and famine and starvation and disease. It's going to be the most horrible time that we could even try to comprehend. And even now, we can't do it because it's going to be worse than we could ever imagine. Now listen to me, folks. I can just imagine when John started hearing these first four, people call them the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are the first four plagues that are poured out upon this earth. There's more coming. And then there's bowls that are going to also come after the scrolls are opened. And all of these are going to have destruction upon the earth. Now, why would God allow that? Why would God, the God of heaven who loves this world so much, allow that? I heard people ask that question. Here's why. He's not allowing it. He's in charge. God is in charge. This is His judgment upon a world and a people who will not accept Him. He's giving them the opportunity right now. How's that happen? How's that possible? Because He's given us. We are His ministers of reconciliation. We are His ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us. God loves this world. He loves the people in this world. But there's going to be a point when He says, that's enough. Jesus, go get your bride. And we will have a time around the throne like nobody's ever seen. But here on this earth, it will begin. And it will be the worst 7 years this world could ever imagine. Why? Because people have said no to God. You might say, well, I wouldn't say no to God. I hope you wouldn't. I hope you wouldn't sit here today and hear this and say no to God. But there are some who will. Not necessarily here today, but there are people all around us every single day that don't want God to be in charge. They want to be in charge. They want to rule their own life. Somebody told me this a long time ago. The commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me, is really a picture of us wanting to be in charge rather than God. When you choose to do your own thing, when you choose to go your own way, you're making yourself your own God. And by the way, folks, we make terrible gods. You have to choose whether you're going to follow God or not. When you go by faith, trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You have to choose that. Nobody can make you do it. If I could, I'd try my hardest to make you do that. But I can't make you do that. Only by the decision of your own heart can you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there are millions of people, billions of people, that don't want to listen to God. They don't want to listen to you. They've made up their own mind. So does it say in God's Word, then we ought to just give up and throw in the towel? No. What it says, as long as we have breath, as long as God gives us the opportunity, we are to share the good news with the people around us. Folks, for us, that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, doesn't make us better than anybody, but it does make us His. And because of that, we have a weight put upon us to not keep it to ourselves, but to share it with others. The reason we're going through the book of Revelation is not so that we can sit there looking from heaven and go, see, I told you! You should have changed. You didn't. You're getting what you deserve. No. There won't be one of us in heaven saying something like that. We will grieve for them. You might say, well, wait a minute. The scripture says there are no more tears in heaven. That's correct. But if you read scripture, you need to realize it's talking about the second heaven. Because heaven and earth is going to be destroyed as we know it. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no more tears and no more sorrow. But I believe, just like John was weeping because nobody was worthy, we'll be weeping over the fact, probably even, that we didn't share Jesus like we should have. Folks, today's the day. God's giving us opportunities. God's given us a voice. God's given us the experience of knowing Him. God's given us His great love. God's given us His Word that will never change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've been given it all. What are we going to do with it? Will we be good stewards of God's Word? Will we be good stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or did Jesus Christ come and die in vain for our neighbors, for our in-laws, for our co-workers? Did Jesus die in vain? No! He died so that they could know the truth. And He said if they will know the truth will set them free. Folks, that's our opportunity. What are we going to do with it? Now, we can sit around and we can gripe about Craig's economic future. You know what, folks? That's not going to be anything like the economic future coming. So just remember that. God's promised us that we'll always have what we need. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. God's going to take care of you. But there's going to be people in that day that won't have a hope or a chance any longer because we didn't share Christ with them. Father, I come to you today and I thank you and praise you that we can see this now. Not so that we can see it then. We can see it now so that we can do something about it. And Lord, it ought to motivate us to take every opportunity that you give us to tell people about Jesus. Lord, what use is it to receive the goodness of the Lord and then not share it with other people? What good is that? It's total selfishness is what it is. Lord, I pray that you will encourage us as your people to be salt, to be light, to be your voice in a world that seems to be going absolutely crazy. Lord, help us to be the clarion call. Help us to be the soldiers who will march into battle, equipped with your spiritual warfare, and wage war against Satan and his demonic forces, and speak the name of truth, Jesus, to everyone who will listen. Lord, give us that ability and courage and strength to stand for you. Lord, I just, right now in this quietness of this moment, I just know that you're putting certain people on certain hearts right now. People that we know that need to know Jesus, and we know that they don't, or at least we don't think they do, because there is no outward fruit. Lord, would you just motivate us? Would you encourage us? Would you just strengthen us by your power and by your might and by your Holy Spirit to quit holding back, to quit being carried on by the things of this world that we think are so important and they're really not? Would you give us the strength and the power to step out in faith, and share the good news with those people around us. Lord, they need it right now. We don't know how long we have before this happens, but they need it right now. Lord, would you give us the strength? Help us, Lord. Help us to love like you love. You so loved us that you gave us your Son. Help us to love in the same manner, that we be willing to even give up our life if that's what it takes. Lord, help us. You might be here this morning and you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure that when this day comes, I'm going to be in heaven with all the others celebrating Jesus. I think I might be here. You don't have to be. God's Word is so clear. All you have to do is trust Him. Put your faith in Him. Repent of your sins. Come to Him and say, dear Lord, I want you in my life. I give you my life. I trust Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. If that's where you are, you could simply pray a prayer and ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. And folks, I guarantee by God's Word, that's exactly what will happen if you pray by faith. You'll be also in heaven celebrating with everyone around the throne of the Lion and the Lamb. But woe to those who will not listen. Woe to those who will not receive the good news, because they will face the second death. And one day they will be cast in the pit of hell with Satan and his demons, and it will be sealed shut for eternity. Oh God, help us tell people about you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand and let's sing this hymn of invitation. If God's speaking to your heart, I'll be here in front.